Welcome to Lesson 3, Learning to Live More Completely in the Now. And interestingly enough, by beginning to understand and making conscious the stories we tend to tell ourselves about the past and the future. When you followed that kite string back, again and again you'll have the experience that you can't really name where you are or what that is. Who we really are in the present moment isn't a thing or an idea. It's awareness. It's consciousness. But to arrive at that, instead of trying to go towards something that itself is unnameable, we make the journey by recognizing when we've left. And one of the places that we are always leaving into is identification with the past and identification with the future. The mind simply leans into the past, and as a result, this moment becomes determined by the way in which we are remembering the past. Let's talk a little bit about the nature of the past. Without the past, you couldn't give a name to anything. You couldn't look at a tree and say, tree. In fact, one of the wonderful meditations is to go out into to nature, sit down by a tree, let your mind get quiet, and just contemplate the tree. I've done this many times in my life, and I haven't had my students do it. And it's really quite interesting. As the mind gets quieter and quieter, the word tree disappears, and the beingness of the tree and the beingness of the meditator begin to unify. And we experience something about tree, not as other than ourselves, but as a part of ourself, a part of the continuum of life. We come into communion with something, and in that communion, we are more complete. But of course, the moment the past is there, the tree becomes an idea in our minds. It becomes a resource, maybe something to be preserved or something to be cut down, to be made into paper. So what happens is that the past steals the ability for us to experience each moment, as the Zen people would say, in original mind. Well, the notion in the deep mysticism of Christianity of the virgin moment, the moment that has never been before, the moment that is not contaminated by ideas and beliefs and thoughts, the moment that is experienced in its purity. You might say to yourself, well, why is that important? In fact, it's that kind of moment that brings us into a deep recognition of who we are, unites us with life. It is the source of real intelligence. So the mind rooted in the past is always in comparison. It's always measuring the present moment against a memory. There is no sense of communion, immediacy, directness. Well, there's a blessing that comes from the past. We learn from the past. We grow in ourselves. We don't make the same mistakes. But here we're talking about something different than how we manage to learn and survive because of our capacity to remember the past. We're talking here about what happens when we're not conscious and we're identified with the past. One of the things that's important to realize is that we never actually remember something truly, especially an emotional memory. When you have an emotional event, each time you go back to it, you remember it in a new way. The parts of the mind, of the parts of the brain that are active when we're in memory are also the parts of the brain that are active in imagination. So the past is constantly being reimagined. But what that does is that the way in which you imagine the past can either leave your bottle of water clear, your mind open, pristine, or it can make you filled with guilt or shame or regret or nostalgia. The way of remembering the past in the now pollutes the present moment, pollutes the nowness of yourself. So it becomes really important to start to make our past stories conscious so that we don't give them the power to do that to us again and again and again. This is the work of this lesson, to make these past stories conscious so that the next time you find yourself telling yourself that kind of a story, that specific past story, you can smile and say, Oh, I know what you're going to do. I know exactly the way you're going to make me muddy. If I identify with that story, I'm going to become guilty. I'm going to become regretful. For example, let's say you're doing something and you're finding it a little difficult. And you tell yourself the story, boy, I used to be so much better at doing this kind of thing. In the moment you tell yourself that story, you become even more uncomfortable with how you are functioning. Instead of just being present in what's unfolding naturally, the story I used to do it better means that now I'm not doing it well. The present then becomes muddy. So it becomes really important to recognize a story like, oh, I used to do it better. The theme, oh, I used to do it better, that may come up frequently, and realize that if I tell myself that story, I'm just going to make myself feel tense and stressed in the present moment. Identification with the past, as I said, means that you're saying to yourself, I wouldn't be feeling this now if I hadn't done something like that in the past, and so there's guilt. Or I wouldn't be feeling this now if they hadn't been like that. They often referring to our parents or the government. So then we're in the experience of blaming and the feeling of blame. Or we look at the past at a time when something really wonderful happened. And because it was such a positive memory, we don't realize how persecuted our present moment can be by positive memories, because we're looking to see whether this moment is as good as the one we remember. Imagine trying to kiss someone on a date, remembering the time you were madly in love with someone else years before. There's no chance that this new kiss is going to be original or virgin and just shimmering with aliveness. It's already going to have lost any capacity to bring you to delight. So that is the reason why we're making past stories conscious, so that we have a greater chance to just arrive in the beginning of ourselves, in the original new moment of life. The way we remember the past determines how we anticipate the future. So if in the moment something suggests to us that, oh, this is going to be something we've experienced before that was really troubling, we will anticipate a future that can be quite anxious, quite worrying. The future, by its nature, is inherently uncertain, and therefore you can never be sure what will happen. So you can tell yourself a story in the present moment about a future that's worse. Of course, the past and the future are a continuum. The nature of the future is like a horizon we never reach. We throw our minds toward it, but it's always imaginary. It's always inherently uncertain, always full of infinite possibility. And because of that, we can tell ourselves a story, believe a story in the present moment, in which we imagine something in the future that's very scary, that produces anxiety and worry. In fact, any time we feel anxiety and worry, the mind is in the future. At the same time, because there is infinite possibility, we can try to tell ourselves a story in the present that makes us feel good, a story in which things will be much better in the future. So we make ourselves feel good with hope. So hope and fear become the nature of the mind in the future. If we create a story that creates fear, we'll try to create an alternate story that creates hope. Because the hope is an imaginary story about an imaginary future, it doesn't have a lasting effect on making us feel good. So then we swing back to a story that makes us feel bad, and we ping-pong back and forth when the mind is in the future between fear and hope. But what are we doing when we do that? What we're doing is we're taking the feeling of fear, anxiety, worry, and we're taking the feeling of hope based on an imaginary story, and we're placing them in the present moment. And what is that blinding us to? What is that making us unable to experience and see in the present? What is that doing to the immediacy of our life? What it does is it makes the present moment less vivid. The present moment starts to become vivid as an imaginary story in the future that scares us. The present moment becomes vivid as an imaginary story in the future that gives us hope. But the now moment, the real now moment, it becomes dimmer and dimmer. And because it becomes dimmer, we have the emotion of fear, the emotion of hope created by our story, but we don't have the innate joy, the innate peace, the natural state of communion and connection and fullness that happens when the present moment is vivid. And this is what the past and the future stories do to us. They create a strong emotional imprint in the now. They shake up your bottle with guilt and regret and blame and nostalgia when the mind is in the past. They shake up your bottle with fear and anxiety and worry and hope when your mind is in the future. But the present moment becomes dim. The light of your true self cannot shine through. And therefore there is no real joy, there is no fullness, there is no sense of innate satisfaction. We're on our way to a life that will be better. Oh my God, we might be on our way to a life that's worse. But this life, the now of ourselves, it's gone. Well, one of the ways, a crucial way, to restore the vibrancy and vividness of the present moment is to recognize and make ourselves conscious of the future stories. And so, in order for you to be muddy, there's going to be a me there and a you there, and it's going to have a past and it's going to have a future. When you make the past and future stories conscious, then the next time you find yourself telling yourself that story, you'll say, wait a minute, I'm aware of this story. By the very power of awareness, I'm more than this story. I wonder what this moment is like in its innate vividness if I don't pollute it with this story. And so you are returning yourself to the present, starting yourself all over again. And as the present becomes vivid, as the nowness of yourself, the sense of being alive in your body becomes vivid, you discover that there's a current of joy, a rich aliveness that is just welling up inside of you. And with it comes a sense of satisfaction, and less worry about whether what you're going to need will be there in the future, or what you're afraid you won't have will be there in the future. The now becomes fulfilling. You become sufficient as you are. So the work becomes to make conscious the way we leave the now and diminish the vividness of our nowness by recognizing the stories we tell ourselves in the past and the future. And each time you recognize the story, you're already back in the present, and you can tune in and listen and discover and come more fully alive.